Good morning. It's time to get up with upset specials. Not one, but two number one seeds go down in the NCAA tournament. We'll start there. Plus, replacing the cheetah. The Chiefs bring in a reinforcement to help Patrick Mahomes and their offense. Will it actually work? And does Kansas City's gain mean the Packers' loss? Does Aaron Rodgers have enough weapons to get his team back to the Super Bowl? And we say good morning to you here on Get Up. I'm Ryan Smith in for Mike Greenberg. Coming to you from the Seaport in New York. We got a ton of football to get to with these guys. Dan Orlovsky traveled all the way back from Disney World to be with us today. And Rob Ninkovich traveled all the way to his attic. And Jeremy Fowler's here as well. But we start with the NCAA tournament. Two number ones going down. And let me tell you something. If you're like me, your bracket is busted. Houston taking on number one seed Arizona in the South region. We'll take you to the first half. Arizona down 31-22. Umar Ballo has it blocked by Fabian White Jr. Soundly rejected. Houston outscored Arizona 18-4 in the paint in the first half, and Houston led by six at halftime. And then under 1:30 to go, Houston leading 64-58. Jamal Shedd finds Kyler Edwards for the dagger three-pointer. The crucial make, Hakeem Olajuwon loving it, and Houston leads wire to wire and wins it 72-60 to advance to the Elite Eight. And then there was this one. Number four seed Arkansas facing one seed Gonzaga, Sweet 16 West Region. Under 9 minutes to play, Arkansas right there. Audis Toney finding the basket and getting the foul. Chet Holmgren would later foul out of this game. And then under 2 minutes left, Davis drives, kicks to Trey Wade, who nails the corner three. Arkansas with the huge upset wins it 74-68, and the Razorbacks advance to the Elite Eight. So now with Arizona and Gonzaga both losing, three of the number one seeds have been eliminated, making it just the fourth time since the tournament expanded that three number one seeds lost before the Elite Eight. Never have all four top seeds done it. Something we could see if Kansas falls to Purdue later today. Now, that's part of it. Then there was the game of the night. Duke, Texas Tech. Coach K walking out of the tunnel as Duke gets set to take on Texas Tech in the Sweet 16. Under 6 minutes to go in the second half. Duke up one. Paolo Banchero to Mark Williams for the slam. Duke up three. And then under 4 minutes to go, Texas Tech down one. Bryson Williams finding Kevin McCullough for three. Texas Tech takes a two-point lead. Very next possession, Banchero. Big-time players make big-time threes. And he did it right there on the other end. Coach K loving it. Then Jeremy Roach finding his spot. Turnaround jumper, good. A minute later, Roach again gets to one of his favorite spots and nails another jumper. Two big shots at crucial times, and Coach K saying, yeah, that's how you do it. Duke knocks off Texas Tech to advance to the Elite Eight. Here's Coach K after the game.
You all were there. It's what a game. What a tremendous game. And they're so good and strong. And they've grown up so much in the last 12 days. It's such a joy.
How sweet it is for Coach K. According to ESPN BPI, the Blue Devils have a 15% chance to win the entire tournament. The second highest behind Houston, who is being given a whopping 34% chance. Duke's going to face Arkansas in the Elite Eight on Saturday. Now let's go to football. And the Chiefs, they're bringing in a reinforcement to help replace Tyreek Hill. Kansas City signing former Packers wide receiver Marquez Valdes-Scantling to a 3-year, $30 million deal. Valdes-Scantling has averaged 17.5 yards per catch since he entered the NFL in 2018. Now, as for Tyreek Hill, yesterday he signed his new contract with the Miami Dolphins, making him the highest paid wide receiver in NFL history. 4-year contract extension worth $120 million and $72 million guaranteed. So here's Hill on leaving Mahomes, Kelce, and the Chiefs behind.
I know those guys still going to ball because they Hall of Famers and they still going to do their thing. It's tough. It's tough, man, but if somebody comes to you with a lot of money, it changes. It changes. The feelings start to change a little bit.
Gotta love the honesty. How about that? All right, Dan Orlovsky, Rob Ninkovich, Jeremy Fowler again back with us. Dan, what are the Chiefs doing here? I think that's the biggest question on everybody's mind right now.
Well, I think that they've decided to build around the best part of their football team, or specifically their offense, and that's their offensive line. and really get away some schematically or philosophically from the stuff that I thought became a little bit of a crutch for them last year. I understand Tyreek Hill is an incredible player, the most explosive player in the NFL. But this offense became so in love with the RPO, the run-pass option, when Patrick Mahomes would put the ball in the belly of a back and he would read the defense and if it's going to be a throw or he's going to hand it off. And the reality was it hurt their offense. As good as it was 3 years ago and it led them to a Super Bowl, it hurt their offense because they became so dependent upon it. And I think this is a little bit of an organizational philosophy change where they say, we got a really, really good offensive line. Could be top three in the NFL. We want to get away from that RPO, hand the ball off a little bit more on some designed runs, and really go back to some drop back football and spread the field a ton and allow Patrick to be the focal point of the offense with their drop back passing game. So I think it's a little bit silly and ignorant of us to say, well, this offense can't be what it was with Tyreek Hill. It's going to be different. They still have players like Mecole Hardman. They've signed a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster, who 2 years ago, when healthy, was a really, really good player. Travis Kelce's still there. I understand he's not the guy 4 or 5 years ago, but he's still there. And I've said this for many years, ever since kind of being on TV. When you have a dominant offensive line and a dominant quarterback, all the other pieces, the tailbacks, the tight ends, and the wide receivers, they're elevated to actually from what they truly are talent-wise because it allows them to thrive because of the offensive line. I think the Chiefs are going to be just fine.
Okay, that's very interesting because a lot of people yesterday saying, what are they going to do? You're thinking they're going to be fine. Ninko, what do you think?
Well, I mean, they got Patrick Mahomes, so they're definitely in a good spot. Look, you have offensively your key pieces and your go-to guys. Defensively, you try and key on those people. So when you lose somebody like Tyreek Hill, the explosiveness, the speed, the vertical speed to get down the field to take the top off the defense, that's hard. It's hard to replace that, but you could also find a speed guy just to run a go route. And, you know, I think back to the Patriots, Matthew Slater, the best special teamer of all time, he would get on the field on offense and they would just say, Slate, run as fast as you can down the field. He was never going to catch the football. So they could kind of put pieces in place to stretch defenses out. You're not going to find another Tyreek Hill. I mean, they don't just grow on trees and I say, okay, let's just replace him with a draft pick because that's not going to work either. You could draft somebody. Might take a couple years for them to develop. So, you know, as far as the short term, I think that they'll be fine because of the pieces with Patrick Mahomes and their offensive line, like Dan just talked about. You know, that's probably the most important part of this whole thing. Keeps everything moving forward. So they continue to run the football, set up their play-action pass. Their intermediate routes, they're all going to be there. You still have Kelce. So, yeah, will it affect them a little bit? Are they going to miss a little bit of the big plays? Sure, but they could probably work around that and try and find some key pieces elsewhere.
Okay, Dan, I know you want to jump back in. Go.
Yeah, I think 2 points are important to point out here. Number one, they've got 5 picks this draft in the top 100. They're going to have a little bit of maneuverability when it comes to acquiring a different type of skill. And I'm going to say this till the draft, late April. The wide receiver class in this NFL draft is absolutely off the charts. I mean, Drake London from USC reminds me of Keyshawn Johnson from USC. Garrett Wilson's play style reminds me of Julio Jones. Not physically the same type of guy, but style of play. Chris Olave is a faster Keenan Allen. Jameson Williams is absolute gas. Jahan Dotson reminds me of Devontae Smith. Treylon Burks is as physically talented as you want. I mean, the Chiefs have a plan, and they are going to figure out how to replace some of the pieces of this roster because of this trade.
Okay, so Jeremy, let's talk about that plan the Chiefs have. What is the plan in place for the Chiefs to replace Hill and keep this offense at that elite level?
Yeah, Ryan, they're loading back up. I'm told they won a bidding war yesterday on Marquez Valdez-Scantling. The Saints had him locked up. Chiefs came in hot with a 3-year deal. They needed that vertical threat to add. Dan pointed out, ton of talent in the draft. They will tap into that. I'm told Clyde Edwards-Helaire could have a bigger role in the passing game. They're looking at some power backs like a Ronald Jones from Tampa, adding that to the arsenal. And, you know, I get the sense after asking around, even though the Chiefs would never say this publicly, but there's a feeling they're like, okay, maybe Tyreek Hill's best years are behind him because with that raw elite speed, he's 28 years old, been with them for 6 years. He's probably not going to get faster. He could only get slower over time.
Wow, I bet he's probably going to hear this and say, my best years are definitely not behind me. We'll see how he shows out in Miami when he gets down there. Meanwhile, let's move to this. With Marquez Valdez-Scantling's departure to the Chiefs, Davante Adams also, his departure to the Raiders. You got to look at Aaron Rodgers and his current weapons right now. Take a look. The only receiver with more than 500 yards was Alan Lazard, and Randall Cobb hasn't eclipsed that benchmark since 2019. So, guys, I want to get into this. Rodgers has lost two of his top three wide receivers from last season now. So, Jeremy, what's the plan in Green Bay?
Well, I would say they're going to draft a receiver high, but they never, ever do that, so I'm hesitant. But you saw Dan's list. I think that's crucially important because the Packers, like many teams, prioritize the quarterback over the wide receiver because it's loaded every year. You see Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel, D.K. Metcalf, all these guys come in hot year one or two, ready to really be number one guys. You see a list here. Those are potential either trade options or names that are floating around in some league circles. You see Will Fuller there as a free agent. He's trying to sort of revive his career after injuries. Packers liked him a few years ago, almost traded for him. So Devontae Parker, Brandon Cooks, those are some trade options out there, names that are floating around that the Packers could go try to get without giving up huge draft capital. So they will address the position, maybe not to the Packers fans' liking because they'd love to see a first-round pick. I do believe somewhere in the first few rounds of the draft they will get a guy, though.
That's the thing. The Packers always surprise you. A couple years back, everybody thought they were going to load up on receivers when Aaron Rodgers mentioned that he wanted somebody, and then didn't happen. So, Dan, what are these Packers now without these wideouts? Are they pretenders or contenders for the title?
Oh, they're pretenders without an addition of a wideout, but in 5 weeks, they could very much so back to being contenders. I'm not concerned about this offense just yet because, again, I think there's such an unknown of what they're going to do. And Jeremy touched on a couple key points, and I want to kind of further that conversation. All right, so they have the 22nd and the 28th pick in this year's first round. They also have the 53rd and the 59th. We're talking four picks in the top 60. So the question then becomes, well, what have they done in the past with those picks, right? Their general manager, Brian Gutekunst, has been in that role since 2018. Now, people, myself included, have given him a little bit of an issue and some flack with the Jordan Love pick, all right? Since 2018, he's made 9 first or second round picks. 7 of those guys have become absolute dudes. Jaire Alexander, Rashawn Gary, Savage, Jenkins, Jordan Love, not A.J. Dillon, Eric Stokes, and Josh Myers. 7 of 9 have become really good players. They got 4 picks in the top 60 this year. So I'll go back to that rookie class wide receiver. If you told me sitting here today that the Packers are going to get a guy like Garrett Wilson, I'm going to go, yep, they're going to be fine. He's not going to beat Davante Adams. I get that, but they'll be fine. You tell me they're going to get Chris Olave, I'm good. I think the two Ohio State kids are off the charts talented. So it's important for everybody to understand that, and Jeremy touched on a little bit, 2 years ago when Justin Jefferson was a rookie, he had 88 catches for 1,400 yards and 7 touchdowns. Last year, crazy. Jamar Chase, as a rookie, had 81 catches for 1,400 yards and 13 touchdowns. Rookies can go in right now in the NFL and almost be dominant at that role.
And these receiver classes recently have been amazing. So, Ninko, do you agree here? What are the Packers now?
I'm agreeing with Dan. I mean, they're pretenders right now as we sit today. Then I'm also looking on the defense side of things. You know, where's their pass rush coming from? They have to be able to get after the quarterback, especially, you know, what they've lost at the outside linebacker spot. They have to be better on defense. So offensively, yeah, we know they need a receiver. They know they need a receiver. My only concern is you have to pick the right one because, listen, there's not a ton of rookie receivers that go out and have tremendous years. Yes, we have seen the Chases come out and have great rookie year. But it's hard to come in as a rookie and learn everything. And you don't even have an off day. You go from college, you go to the combine, you get drafted, you go to your rookie camp, then you go to training camp, and then you're right into the season. That is hard. It's hard to do it. So, you know, if they do pick up a person, I would hope that they might get a veteran or something to add a piece there and a drafted
Nico,
person.
Nico, I'm telling you, these college kids are off the charts this year, man. I mean, they are off. Those first 6 kids are all going to step in. As long as their quarterback's a good player and there's a bunch of them in the NFL, they're going to step in and be really, really good right away.
All I have to say is, you mentioned Justin Jefferson. I remember when the Eagles passed on him, took Jalen Reagor, then Minnesota took Jefferson. I think Eagles fans, they still remember that. Yeah, they do. Okay, so pick the right one. Coming up with Tyreek Hill, now in Miami, the Dolphins' offense is loaded, and all the pressure is squarely on his new quarterback. Is it playoffs or bust for Tua? And does anyone really want Baker Mayfield? Why, he may not have a new home for quite a while, and our crew's going to tell you where they think he should end up.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by Royal Caribbean. Rise to the vacation. Come seek. And Arby's. Arby's, we have the meats. All right, let's run the hurry up, go with storylines around the league. Let's bring back Jeremy Fowler in. And Jeremy, let's start with Bobby Wagner.
Ryan, let's do it. Wagner visited with the Los Angeles Rams this week. There is interest from the Rams in signing Wagner. This is an LA guy, so this could be intriguing here, but I'm told Wagner's main goal is contention. Go to a team that can win right now. And this is an all-pro. He's not just going to take any old deal. Talking to some teams around the league, they believe he can get $10 million or more per year. But the market has to sort of dictate that and fall into play. It should here soon. Let's go to Jimmy Garoppolo. I talked to somebody with the team, with the 49ers, who said there's no real rush here on a trade, that they could carry his $26 million cap hit and still do all that they need to do in free agency and the draft. So not overly concerned here, but the market has cooled a bit. I've talked to some teams that are a little concerned with that shoulder surgery he had. When can he throw? It might not be till, you know, July or even August. The uncertainty has affected his market a bit. Now, Baker Mayfield also on the trading block here, and yeah, I'm told that the Browns have been in constant communication with Mayfield's agent, Thomas Mills, to try to find a solution here, try to get a deal for Mayfield. It is a bit quiet now. I know Seattle has done their homework on Mayfield. They've watched film on him among coaches. They've talked about him at the front office levels, but this is a team that's looking to re-sign Geno Smith. They like Drew Lock, and they're heavy on the draft picks right now, the quarterbacks in this draft class. So hardly a slam dunk that this happens at all. Yeah, I've talked to teams and said, look, this guy has value. He's had two good seasons in Cleveland, sort of brought the Browns back from the dead. But at that salary that's guaranteed of nearly $19 million, that is a major hindrance here.
That is a lot of money. Great, great information. Jeremy Fowler, thanks so much. All right, so, Ninko, this is amazing that we're at this point with Baker Mayfield. Is he still a starter in the NFL in your mind?
I don't see a spot for him right now, honestly, to be a starter. And, you know, maybe the best thing for Baker would be to go to a place and be a backup for a year, recharge the batteries, not be under the microscope so much and everyone scrutinizing everything that you do, and try to kind of regroup and get back on the field when he gets an opportunity, and then try and become a starter again. But right now, you know, I just look around the league, a lot of teams have got their guys. They already have people in place. They already have their starters. So, you know, for Baker, he's in a tough spot because he also wants to compete. He wants to play. But if you look at the Browns, they've clearly made their choice. They're moving on. They needed a better quarterback. They needed better play from that position. And now it's up to other teams to see if they value him. But $19 million, that's a lot of money. I don't know if anyone's going to jump on that one right there.
It's a lot of money indeed. And also, you know, he's got a big personality. Some people, I guess, don't like that. You know, you have to see how it plays out team to team. But, Dan, what team do you think would be a good fit for Baker?
Well, Tampa Bay. I think Baker Mayfield should try to go to Tampa Bay now that Matt Ryan's in Indy. And I agree a little bit with Ninko. If that's the only place that, for me, Ryan, I would say, okay, I'm good going to be a backup. You know, go obviously learn from Tom Brady and watch, because, you know, both of those guys, the chip on the shoulder, no, I'm not comparing them or the player, but, you know, watch how he kind of handles himself, because again, when an organization so quickly moves on from a player, I don't believe it's just attached to the performance on the field. There has to be, and we've heard some conversation and some rumors about some of the off-the-field stuff, some of the preparation, some of the way he carries himself, the personality, the situation with Duke Johnson. Again, I have loved that, but it's become a little bit abrasive, apparently, and I think that's what Baker needs to sit back a little bit and just kind of evaluate, so to speak. I think that's where the decision lies for Baker Mayfield, though. Do I want to go and be a backup this year? And again, the only place I think you're comfortable with that is Tampa Bay. Or do I want to go compete? And that brings in the Seattles and the Carolinas and the Pittsburgh Steelers, so to speak. Jeremy mentioned, this kid's had two good years in the NFL. He's had two bad years. The bad years were with a coach that was fired after one season and with a torn labrum in his shoulder. I think that we believe that Baker Mayfield is more likely the guy that had those two good years.
Yeah, and it's got to, and I think you make a great point. He's got to do something about what people are seeing off the field. So
yeah,
Ninko,
it's got to be a part of it.
Ninko, I wonder, would backing up Brady work for Baker, but would it also work for Brady?
I mean, look, Brady, he could have anyone behind him. He wouldn't care. He's going to be the guy.
Correct.
So, you know, I think Tom doing what he does every single day. Listen, when you're a leader in the locker room and you're a leader like Tom is, you don't have to go in and show anybody anything. You just go out and you do what you do every single day, the way you prepare, the way you practice, the way you play. And if you are a good backup and you're trying to learn and be like that guy, you just take as many notes as possible. You try to absorb everything like a sponge. And maybe it would work out for Baker just to look at Tom and see how he handles himself.
All right, we'll see how it works out for Baker in this situation. Thanks, guys. And I want to move on to this. A second grand jury in Texas decided not to indict Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson, who's been accused of sexual misconduct by 22 women. As Watson arrived in Cleveland to undergo a physical, a grand jury in Brazoria County listened to evidence related to a criminal complaint filed by one of the women. But the grand jury did not file any charges against Watson, who still faces civil lawsuits and a possible NFL suspension. Another grand jury in Harris County also declined to file charges earlier this month. Now, the Browns are holding a press conference this afternoon at 1 o'clock Eastern to introduce Watson, and you can see it live on SportsCenter. Coming up, Tyreek Hill's enormous challenge, going from Mahomes to Tua. Wait until you hear what the Cheetah had to say about his new quarterback, and how much pressure is there on Miami? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Well, we do something called Meanwhile on Planet Earth, and this one features my man Dan. Look at Dan. He returned to Disney World. Dan, is this a test track ride here?
Yeah, that's test track. What a good ride. And that's when my daughter, when we take the speed turn, she goes, "Smallfoot exists, suckers!" She's a nutcase. We did that one. That's like 10 o'clock at night. That's like basically when the park is shutting down. We hung in there for one more ride.
And your kids have no fear. Look at them. Hands up. No
problem.
Can't
be scared. We don't fear anything, Ryan.
Wow. Wow. It's the Westport way. That's what they call it. Okay, so now we wanted to build a segment, Dan, just for you. This is a segment called While You Were at Disney. Dan, while you were away, let's go through some of the things that you missed. What do you make of Matt Ryan traded to the Colts?
Yeah, I think it's the best situation for both parties. You know, the Colts have such a strong roster. They decided to move on from Carson Wentz. They needed a quarterback that was going to give them a chance within the division. Matt Ryan does that. And Matt Ryan's time in Atlanta had just come, specifically because of his play being so good for so long. But then their conversation with Deshaun Watson, it made it apparent that they were done with him. It gives the Colts a chance to win this division.
Okay, and it's like as soon as you went to Disney World, the entire NFL blew up. What about Devontae Adams to the Raiders?
Yeah, I mean, the Raiders get the best receiver in football. I mean, we're talking about a guy that's had 123 and 111 catches in back-to-back years and equated for over 20 touchdowns. Josh McDaniels, their new head coach that comes over from New England, is going to have a very good understanding of how to use him in the very similar ways that he was used in Green Bay. Now this Raiders offense has a chance to be incredibly explosive.
Okay, and the most recent one happened just as you were coming back, Tyreek Hill to the Dolphins.
Ooh, I love it. There is not a person that I am more excited for in the world other than Tua Tagovailoa outside of knowing that ESPN signed the PLL, the Premier Lacrosse League, and that they're going to be broadcasting their games. I'm so fired up for that, but equally fired up for Tua now that they've acquired Tyreek Hill. It gives him not only a person that he could push the ball downfield to, but also a guy that he can go, hey, listen, man, like, I don't want this football. You take it and go give me 50 yards.
Yeah, can't wait to watch that Lax League, by the way. I'm right there
with
you.
How good is that, man? I cannot watch the
–
shout out to the Rabel brothers. That's an awesome job by them getting that game on ESPN, dude.
So good. By the way, full disclosure, both of our kids play lacrosse.
No doubt.
That's beside the point. Yesterday, Hill talked about his new contract, and he had this message for Dolphins fans.
Gear up, man. It's going to be a fast season, but it's going to be a fun season. Tua is one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the NFL, man. So just his ball placement, you know, getting us the ball in space, you know, perfect placement, you know, and us just utilizing our speed, you know, utilizing our best asset, you know, and that's just being dangerous.
I like what he's talking about there, Ninko. One of the most accurate quarterbacks, utilizing our speed. How will Hill help Tua and the Dolphins offense?
It's going to help them a lot, but the only thing I'm concerned about is say you have a car that does 200 miles an hour. If the speed limit's 65, well, you can't go over 65, right? So they're going to have to make sure that Tua takes another step forward. Number one, he's got to stay healthy. He's been banged up every season he's played. So he's got to stay healthy. They got to protect him, but he's also got to take another step forward as a quarterback. When you have a guy like Tyreek Hill, obviously that's going to help. So you got to get him the football. You have to be accurate. You're going to have to take shots down the field. And they have so many weapons now, and they've really revamped this. And another little sneaky thing that the Dolphins have done, they have Wes Welker as a receivers coach. So that guy's been in that division, played with the Patriots for a long time, is a great receivers coach. So he's going to have a group of guys that's going to be special. So now it's up to the head coach to really get this team in the right direction.
All right, Dan, I can see you're not quite buying it, Nico's car reference. You just came from the test track. Right. What do you think?
Right. I mean, Nico, I'm a simple man. I drive a Jeep Wrangler. How many cars have you been in that go 200 miles an hour? And honestly, what was the last time you abided by the speed limit?
You go five over, it's okay. But that's still like, you know, 70 and a 65. That's about it.
You've been in a car that goes 200 miles an hour?
I have a car that does 205, but I will now would never go 205 miles an hour.
What the
but
heck do you mean you go 205 miles an hour for?
That's a humble brag right there.
Just in case, you gotta go, man. You gotta
who are you,
go.
Okay,
I don't know what Ninko's escaping from, but tell me more about Tua. Dan, what do you think about it?
Yeah, so I think that their new head coach, Mike McDaniel, is going to use Tyreek Hill the same way that he and Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco used Deebo Samuel. How many different ways can I get this guy the football? And it's going to be certainly about his ability to run some of the intermediate routes. They will take deep shots with Tyreek Hill. Tua Tagovailoa can throw the ball past 40 yards, America. He could do it. It's going to be okay. But then it's going to be about just getting him the ball. How many different ways can they hand it off to him with jet sweeps, perimeter screens, using the ball out on the perimeter. Tua's strength is in two things, and we're going to break this down a little bit later in the show. Number one, the way he can use his eyes to manipulate the defense while also being ready to throw the football. That goes back to that getting me the ball in space comment that Tyreek Hill made, and then living in that RPO, that run-pass option game that the Dolphins do really well, that Tua is the best quarterback in the NFL doing. I think that's going to be the focal point for Mike McDaniel with Tua Tagovailoa this offseason and leading into this season.
Okay, very interesting there. Jeremy Farrell, one of the reasons I say that is because we looked at this deal yesterday and we wondered what this deal means for Tua if this team doesn't win. So are these offseason moves for the Dolphins, is it sort of a referendum on Tua?
It's not solely a referendum on Tua. It's a byproduct of a team that had to rebuild on offense, just got an offensive-minded head coach, and didn't have great personnel on that side of the ball. They had a defensive-minded coach in Brian Flores. Offensive line was just okay. They had Jalen Waddle, but not enough around them. With Mike McDaniel, let it loose. This isn't the Dolphins putting Tua on blast, saying, okay, well, you better get this going in year three. Like, he's played 23 games. They know largely what he is, and you heard Tyreek Hill, you heard Dan say it, very accurate, good touch on the ball. Can he drive the ball vertically? I think that the Dolphins' stance is, hey, this will help him do that. Whatever parts of his game that he needs to refine, we now have the personnel in place to make that happen. But it is funny, you know, talking to some people around the league, they thought the Jets were actually a little bit of a better fit for Tyreek Hill because Zach Wilson does have that deep ball in his arsenal, and they play Miami and New England every year. That's a lot of heavy man coverage. So really, it was more people thought the Jets might be a better fit for Tyreek Hill than the Dolphins were.
Greeny's going to hear that and cringe as he hears that. His dream denied. All right, guys, we'll talk a lot more about this in the next hour. But in the meantime, let's turn back to basketball and run the floor. NCAA Tournament Edition beginning in the South Region, where number two seed Villanova, held on to beat number 11 seed Michigan, 63-55. Jermaine Samuels led the way for the Wildcats with 22 points. Nova's going to play Houston in the Elite Eight on Saturday night. And then there were the Houston Cougars. They stunned the top seed in the South, defeating Arizona 72-60. Houston was led by Jamal Shedd, who finished with 21 points. Meanwhile, let's turn to the West. Another number one seed went down. Arkansas upsets Gonzaga 74-68. It's the Razorbacks' first ever win against the number one team in the NCAA tournament. Arkansas will face Duke on Saturday night in the Elite Eight, and that is because the Blue Devils outlasted Texas Tech 78-73, extending Coach K's final season. It's the 17th time he's made the Elite Eight. Duke has now scored on 12 of its final 15 possessions to get the win. So let's talk all of this over, including these shocking upsets, with our coach, Seth Greenberg. He joins us now. Now, Coach, Duke avoids the upset on a wild night in the Sweet 16. What stood out to you the most from Duke's night against Texas Tech?
They looked like a national championship team. They did it on the defensive end. They did it on the offensive end. Their ability and the agility to be able to change defenses, go to that zone to keep Texas Tech out of the lane, was absolutely huge. They threw basically the curveball, but they came back with the fastball after that, went back to their man-to-man to close out the game. And then offensively at the end of the game, Jeremy Roach has been absolutely terrific. Paolo Banchero putting his arms around this team, making big plays, attacking and going at the rim. And then Mark Williams, his ability to protect the front of the rim and make plays around the basket. Duke looked like a national championship team in that game last night.
Okay, and then we turn to the two number one seeds. And I got to tell you, Seth, I was leading the SportsCenter AM pool, and then Gonzaga went down, and I'm done, and then Arizona went down, and maybe I'm still alive. It's an unbelievable night of upsets. So give us your takeaway from these big upsets, starting with the Zags.
Basically, what happened is Arkansas imposed their will on this game. They took a little page out of what Baylor did. They got up and underneath Gonzaga. They pushed him out. They cut off the head of the snake. What's the head of the snake? We said yesterday, Andrew Nembhard's the most important player for this Gonzaga team. He's not the best player, but he's the most important player. They took him out of the game. And then offensively, they attacked. J.D. Notte getting downhill. But they got every 50-50 ball. They got up and underneath this Gonzaga team. They disrupted the rhythm of the game and absolutely owned the game by being more physical, tougher, and more aggressive. And you saw that throughout the game for 40 minutes. And then Houston. Houston, they owned every single hustle play. Second chance points, points in the paint, points off turnovers. They dominated Arizona with the physicality of their game. And then they dominated the glass. When you think about Houston basketball, you think about defense and rebounding. They defended, they rebound, and their guard play was not good. It was absolutely phenomenal.
They do so many things well. It was almost as if they should have been a higher seed in this one. Amazing game that they had. Now, we got four more games on the slate today. Give us your biggest upset from today's slate.
Well, if Jaime Hawkins doesn't play, it's going to be North Carolina over UCLA. North Carolina playing their best basketball matchups to watch, obviously, RJ Davis and Tiger Campbell, but that's going to be the game to watch. I think that North Carolina has a legit shot to win that game.
Oh, that is a great one. North Carolina just playing so well right now. Seth Greenberg joining us. Seth, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right, now here's our NCAA Women's Championship Sweet 16 matchups tonight. Number one seeded South Carolina taking on North Carolina on ESPN at 7 Eastern. And ESPN2 has Ohio State, Texas. Then Maryland takes on the defending national champ Stanford on ESPN with Creighton and Iowa State on ESPN2. All four games are also available on the ESPN app. Well, coming up, Kyrie Irving going from part-time to full-time. Are the Nets now the favorites to win the East? And how badly do they need Ben Simmons? We're talking about that and more coming up on Get Up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back with you on Get Up. Okay, so in light of the Tyreek Hill trade, let's play a little game of more or less with Dan Orlovsky and Rob Ninkovich. Okay, so Dan, Patrick Mahomes will have more or less than his 37 passing TDs from last season.
Yeah, he's going to have more. I'll reiterate, they're going to have one of the best offensive lines in football. I do believe that they're going to add a special piece in the draft at the wide receiver position. He's had less than 37 touchdown passes once in his career, in his 5 years as a starter. So I have no concerns. He's going to have more. They still have a lot of pieces. Their pass-catching tailbacks, Travis Kelce, Juju, Marquez Valdes-Scantling has been added.
Okay, Rob Ninkovich, will Tyreek Hill have more or less than his 9 receiving touchdowns from last year?
More. And I say that because when you pay a receiver that much money, when he is the highest paid receiver of all time, you got to make sure your investment looks good. You got to feed him the rock. You got to give him the ball and make sure that he scores a lot. And if you're Tua, guess what? He's a go-to guy. You're gonna use him a lot in the red zone, big play guy. So I think he's going to have 12 touchdowns. I'm going with 12.
Ooh, okay. Put you on the spot. 12 touchdowns. We'll remember that at the end of the season. Okay, so Dan, Travis Kelce will have more or less than his 9 receiving touchdowns from last year.
Yeah, I mean, if he has 12 touchdowns, he's going to the Tua's going to go to the Pro Bowl. With Travis Kelce, I'm going to say less. You know, he's had over 10 or 9 touchdowns twice in his career, 2020 and 2018. That's just a lot. And again, I think this offense is going to be built around their offensive line and really diversifying the football. Travis Kelce, I'll give him, he's going to have 8, 9 or more is just a ton for a guy that's going to be another year older.
Okay, so he's going to get at least close to it, but somebody in that offense is going to catch a lot of touchdowns for Patrick Mahomes. All right, we'll have a lot more NFL coming up in a little bit, but right now I want to run the floor NBA style. Chris Paul returned from a broken right thumb last night and finished with 17 points. Devin Booker torched the Nuggets for 49 as the Suns beat Denver 140-130. Phoenix clinched the top seed in the playoffs with the win. Then Grizzlies star Ja Morant, he's going to miss at least the next 2 weeks due to knee soreness that has sidelined him recently. The Grizzlies beat the Pacers last night. They're now 16-2 this season without Morant in the lineup. And big news for the Nets that could have a huge impact on the NBA playoffs. New York City Mayor Eric Adams has lifted the mandate for unvaccinated athletes, meaning Kyrie Irving is now eligible to play all home games. Music to Nets fans' ears and music to our ears to see Kendrick Perkins and Zach Lowe now with us. All right, Perk, start with you. Kyrie cleared to play home games. What does this make the Nets now in the East?
A Eastern Conference contender. That's about it. Like I don't see the Nets making it to the finals with just Kyrie and Kevin Durant. And I know that they're special. Look, I was at the game when they played against the Memphis Grizzlies, sitting courtside with my feet on the wood. And here it is. Kyrie Irving had 43 points. I believe Kevin Durant had 35 or 37. They put up 120 and lost. See, what we fail to realize is that it's two sides of the basketball. We know that KD and Kyrie could score, but what happens when the ball is not falling in the hoop? Defense still win championships, and so when I look at this Nets team, I'm not sold on them defensively, and I'm not sold on Steve Nash and trust him just yet to make adjustments.
Okay, so that's really interesting, and we'll get back to defense in a second. But, Zach, what do you think about that? Are the Nets the team to beat in the East or no?
Let me give everyone an NBA reality check for the play-in era. If you're in the play-in tournament, by definition, you cannot be the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. That's it. Your margin for error is too little. The Nets are really good. Like Perk said, yeah, there's a universe, even without Simmons, which we'll talk about, where they can get to the conference finals and maybe push their way to the finals. But team to beat, you can't hang team to beat on a team that's eighth, on a team that doesn't have Joe Harris, on a team that's been missing LaMarcus Aldridge, Seth Curry missed the other day, Goran Dragic missed the other day. Their depth is compromised. We have no idea if or when Ben Simmons is going to play. You're going to hang team to beat on that? That's disrespectful to the Bucks, to the Heat, to the Celtics, who are steamrolling everybody in their path. You can't hang team to beat on that.
Well, speaking of that, and we got to put that graphic up again, Caesars Sportsbook still sees them as the team to beat, although they're still the eighth seed. So kind of they are being a little disrespectful. But there it is right there. They're being a little disrespectful to those teams. Now, Brooklyn's the eighth seed. They could face seventh seed Toronto with no Kyrie. Well, yeah, that's right, with no Kyrie in the play-in game because of the Canada vaccine restrictions. Let's remember that. So, Perk, how important is it for you for the Nets to move up from that eighth seed?
It's very important. And look, we don't know if Toronto is going to be there because, you know, Chicago has fallen off. You know what I mean? Like, they looking funny in the light. But look, the Toronto Raptors are serious, okay? And I'm not saying they're going to win the East, but they're not a team that you want to play against. They have size. They have athleticism. They have shooting. They have leadership. They have an excellent coach in Nick Nurse. And if I'm the Brooklyn Nets, I want to stay far away from them as possible, especially if I'm not going to have Kyrie Irving.
Great point. Great point. But I want to go back to this point you made earlier, Perk, and ask you, Zach, this. We talked about defense. The Nets have yet to see Ben Simmons play this season. Actually, Perk, I'll start with you, if we have enough time for both of you. Do they need Ben Simmons to make a championship run?
They do need Ben Simmons, but what version of Ben Simmons, Ryan? See, that's the part we fail to realize. We haven't seen Ben Simmons play since last June. And so with that being said, I'm not questioning his confidence on the offensive end, but we have to understand, like, you get into NBA shape playing NBA basketball. We don't know what his workload is going to, what his legs are going to be able to handle as far as his workload. We don't know how his back is going to hold up, not knowing that he hasn't played basketball in that long. And we talking about him coming back at the highest level, making the impact. We really got to stop that nonsense.
And I also say, to your point, let's remember how Ben Simmons rolls in the playoffs. Doesn't always go so well. Zach, what do you think?
There was a version of the Nets pre-Harden with Durant and Irving and really elite depth around them. That team, I think they could have made the finals. I think they could have even won the championship. They traded a lot of that depth to get James Harden. Injuries have chipped away at it further. So I agree with Perk. I think they need some version of Simmons. Maybe not 100% Simmons. Maybe not 75% Simmons. Maybe it's still the I'm afraid to get fouled with the game on the line Simmons. But they need his defense. They need his playmaking. They need his size. If they're going to win three playoff series in the East, I think they do need him.
Great points all around, guys. Perk, Zach, thank you so much. All right, so tomorrow afternoon, hockey. ABC NHL matchup has the Blackhawks in Vegas to cap off a three-game West Coast road trip against the Golden Knights. Our coverage begins at 3 Eastern. Coming up, we're talking a lot more football. Tyreek Hill shares exactly why he left Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. So is the fear factor gone from the Kansas City offense? That and a lot more coming up.